Take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I heard Pastor preached in Genesis 6 the other day. I was in junior church, so I don't know if I preached the same message as preacher or not. I don't think so, but when I heard that, I was like, oh man, you know, that's okay. I don't like coming up behind Pastor and trying to preach anything he preaches, because I'll mess it up. So, Genesis chapter 6. We'll go ahead and read verse 1, and then we'll get down to verse 8. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And then verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you again for today. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness and mercy on us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight as we study this, to just help us, Lord, to be encouraged in a day that we live that's wicked, Lord, and corrupt. That, Lord, you'd help us to live in your grace and enjoy the grace that you can give us, Lord, to experience that, to, Lord, allow you to work in our life during these days. And I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Genesis chapter 6, as we just read, it was a wicked day. I don't think we've ever seen a day like we have today in our lifetime that seems to be more corrupt and wicked as it is today. I mean, apart from Noah's day, in our lifetime, this is a difficult day. When you think about even more recently with the gas prices, and the shortages, and the vaccinations, and the threats of making them mandatory or not, and the threats of who knows what's coming down the pipe, it seems like we're losing a grip on what is normal to us in America. In Noah's day, the Bible says that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I never thought I would see a day where we couldn't trust that America was really out for our own good as a country. You know, as a military man, as some of you have been in the military, you signed up, raised your right hand, and with the understanding and the... you didn't really have a concern that your country wouldn't be out to come and get you if something were to happen, right? You think about no man's left behind in the military. If someone's shot or hurt or injured, you're going to get out. Someone's going to come get you, right? Our country, we felt like we always had that backing in our country, but it seems like that today that even that is uncertain. You know, I thought about Nathaniel graduating and, you know, would I ever let him go to the military? And, you know, that was a great path for me when I went, but today's a different day. I don't know that I trust our government. To have that thought, I don't think I can trust our government to do right and put him in that position to me is just awkward. It's different today. Noah's day was wicked. It was difficult. It was much worse than what we have right now, right? You think about Noah. In a world, in the known world, in his world at the time, there was no America, right? There was Noah, was the man of one of eight that actually had God's favor against the whole entire world at that time. You know, at least we in our day have had America to kind of stand in the way of our and to protect our religious liberty and allow us the ability to live a peaceable life, to try and live for the Lord, right? In all godliness and honesty, and to do good, and to have a good life, and to enjoy, you know, the kids playing, and just the freedom, and to be able to go and do. But now, if America is being removed, now we're faced with the pressure of the rest of the world that doesn't hold to our ideology. And now we're faced with pressure to conform to some standard that's not American, it's not religious, you know, there's nothing Christian about it. And so it's worrisome. As a dad and as grandparents, and maybe you have loved ones, it's worrisome to think about what's happening to us. We've had those who have had the vaccine, and I have a friend that had the vaccine. Maybe you've had it in here, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, but all I'm saying is that there's things happening that we're unsure about, and we don't trust what's going on, for sure. In Noah's day, he found grace. He had God's blessing, he had God's favor, in a day where everything around him was just wicked and corrupt and evil. But yet Noah found grace. And I was just interested in the thought of how did Noah... I know, Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works of the initiative of those." We know that when we get saved, it's by grace through faith, right? Our faith in God activates His grace. He gives us His grace. We get saved. And that's a wonderful thing. But as a Christian, how do we live in a day that's getting more and more evil? It's getting more and more concerning. We're losing liberty slowly, I believe, to where even, you know, us doing what we're doing tonight, having church, and not really following CDC guidelines. I don't know if we are or not. I don't even really care because I haven't looked at them, are we? Right? But how restrictive... How much worse is it going to get, and how are we going to be able to live our life as a Christian and to be faithful to God when we're being threatened with possibly, of not having church or whatever the case may be coming down the road? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you look in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6, it said, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." My message tonight is mainly living in the grace of God. As a Christian, enjoying the grace of God, even in a day where things seem a little bit out of control and crazy. Like Noah, in Noah's day, our world is moving more and more against God than ever before. Like Noah, we need to have God's grace. What was it about Noah that in a dark, wicked world he found God's grace? We just read the description. He was a just man, perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Just means lawful, right? He was concerned about what was right and what was wrong, okay? Perfect. I'm not going to pat myself on the shoulder, but I found a nugget today. And it was kind of exciting, you know, when I was studying this. Look in James chapter 1, verse 4. Go all the way back to James chapter 1. We might do it. We're going to turn to a little bit of Scripture. James chapter 1. When I was going back over this, and I was just defining some of these words. I was like, wow, this is pretty neat. Perfect. Now, we know he's not perfect, right? No one's perfect but God. But if you look up the word perfect in the concordance, it's entire. All right? It means entire. If you look in James chapter 1, look in verse, I'm going to read verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I think that's a neat Bible definition of perfect. Noah was in a day where there was great, I'm sure. His patience was being tested. His faith was being tested. When the whole world is doing evil and wicked, Noah's the only one standing and preaching the preacher of righteousness in 1 Peter, I think it is, right? Here's Noah standing against that. You don't think he was tempted to want to quit, to want to give in to the world and to just say, you know what, I'm not willing to sacrifice, damage to me or my family or whatever. But yet it says, "But knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I think Noah, being a just man, being a perfect man in his generations, where he was satisfied with God. There wasn't nothing else he was trying to get out of life, but just to know God, to walk with God, to be with God, to please God. He was wanting nothing. He was perfect in his generations. And the last part of that verse in verse 9 says, "And Noah walked with God." I think the secret to Noah's finding grace in a time of wickedness and evil in his day was right there. He was just, perfect, and he walked with God. Noah was a man that we can look to in obtaining God's grace in the midst of a wicked world like we are living in today. In Genesis 6:22, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." God told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth. God gave him the plans to build the ark, and Noah did accordingly, just as God had told him. In Genesis 7:1, "And the Lord said to Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Noah, because of his obedience to God, and he walked with God, and he was upright before the Lord, God said, I have seen righteous before me in this generation. So it is possible, in a day when things are getting dark, to live for the Lord, to still live and please God, to live a life that honors the Lord. In Genesis 7:5, it says, "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Against all the opposition of the whole world against Noah, he was faithful to do still what God called him to do. As we already discussed, the grace of God in our life begins when we got saved. It begins when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's what saved us. However, living our Christian life is just as important, that we continue to put our faith and walk in faith with the Lord. Because it's only through faith that God's grace is going to be extended to us. Right? It's our faith in the Lord that activates God's grace. Before we get any further into that, God's grace is a precious gift that we have. It's a gift that we have. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read verse 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." God's grace is a precious gift that we have, and we have access to it to go and pray and talk to God and ask God for mercy and help in a time of need. All of us have something we can be praying for today. There's plenty that is on our prayer list that we need to be praying for, whether it's our families or our nation. You name it, there's plenty of people that we can be praying for. But it's available to us, and all we have to do is go before God and pray and ask God, "Lord, I have a need. I can't, this is beyond me." You know, I think most dads think, you know, we like to think that we can solve problems, right? And do things for our family. But there's some things that we can't control. And there's a lot going on in our world that is out of our control. I think, you know, you used to think we just need some Christian politicians or someone that's out there on the Capitol Hill. And I know there's some out there, very few, but I've heard of them. But it's out of their control. This thing that's going on in our country and in our life is out of our control. There's something that we need to go to God for, and we need to ask God, "Lord, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your help." Because honestly, if we let it, if we're not careful, we'll become fearful, and we know that's not of God. And we need God's grace to help us stay faithful. But it is a gift. God's grace is a gift, and we don't need to take it for granted. But we do need to take advantage of the fact that we can go boldly to the throne of grace and ask for help. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 84:11. Go to Psalm 84:11. Talking about how the grace is a gift of God. Go to Psalm 84. I love this verse. Psalm 84:11. Ready? It says this. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." If you want God's grace, if you want help, if you want God, like Noah, to look upon you and give you grace, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, then the Bible says, "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Do right. Make things right. You know, I tell my kids, if you've done something wrong, just make it right. Right? Don't tell me about it. Go tell the person, you know, and that goes for all of us. Tell the person that we have offended. But walk uprightly before God. Do what's right. You know, don't cheat people. I feel like, and I know this is not the case, and y'all don't think this, but I feel like, I thank God with these purifiers, And I don't mean to bring this up. The only reason why I'm bringing it up is because we've had so many problems with them. Right? So many problems. And I thank God I didn't charge anybody, like I didn't make money off of it, because man, I'd have felt guilty, like I need to just pay you back. That's what I feel like, right? But if we've, you know, you think about it, but I've had poor brother Connor, he bought like 10 of these, and every one of them had been returned. And I said, "Brother Connor, I feel so bad. I'm like, I feel like I'm cheating you." You know, he said, "Brother, no, it's just," I said, "I know, but it's just the thing." And I was like, I want you to know I'm sorry. What do I need to do? I'll make it right. We'll fix it. You know, they're returning them and all this stuff, but it's just, you know, but I try to tell my kids, I felt that way. I felt bad. But listen, we need to walk uprightly though and do right, because God is watching. And if we're going to have God's grace and God's help in a time of need, He sees that. And we need to be upright and walk uprightly. Look at Psalm 145, verse 20. Psalm 145, verse 20. These are some of the precious gifts of God's grace. Psalm 145, verse 20. "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. God preserves all them that love Him. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? It's a good indicator of how we love God, is how much do we keep His commandments. How much do we walk and follow after the Lord in obedience to His Word. That's why soul winning is so important. Telling others about Christ. Spending time with the Lord. Walking with the Lord. Loving Him. Talking with Him. Go to Proverbs 8:32. We'll read through 36 here to the end of the chapter. It says, Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So how do we get favor with God? You know, grace is God's unmerited favor. How do we get favor with the Lord? It's by being in His Word, hearing instruction, and obeying God. Refusing it not. Not running from God's Word and instruction, but trying to live it and take it in and live it. I love where it says, "watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." You know, you think about when you go out during the day, in the morning, you're getting ready to go do something. Do we wait on God? Like, Lord, have we asked God for direction? Right? Seeking His direction and will in our life for that moment and day. Look in Proverbs 12. Look over to Proverbs 12, verse 2. Proverbs 12, verse 2. It says, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will He condemn." So there's a lot of precious gifts and promises that we have about God's grace and getting God's favor in our life. But we need to let God's grace be active in our life. We need to, you know, when you're gifted with the grace of God through salvation, it ought to propel us to live out that grace into someone else's life. Right? Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 10. "But by the grace of God," this is of course the Apostle Paul, "but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul, obviously, was a saved man, but he didn't let it stop there. He labored more abundantly. He took what God gave him. He said it wasn't in vain. That God, when God gave him His grace, was bestowed upon him, that it wasn't in vain, because he labored more than everybody else to go out and extend that grace to others. To live the life that God had called him to live. He says he labored more abundantly. He spent time with God. He worked hard. Can you imagine back in their day going around on a missionary journey without cars and planes? It's a hard road. 1 Corinthians 15:11 says, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed." He went out and labored to get the gospel out, to extend that grace to others so that they can also believe and experience the grace of God for their salvation and for their living beyond Himself. In Titus 3:7 it says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things by will, that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. We're not maintaining good works to keep our salvation, but we ought to be living a life pleasing God and doing good works and helping others to experience the same grace that we were given. This ought to be our life is living this grace life, making it active in our life. It says in the end of that verse of Titus 3:8, says that these things are good and profitable unto men. If a Christian doesn't go out and live as a Christian ought to live, then what is that? Right? You think of Matthew chapter 5, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. And why don't we hide our candle under a bushel, right? If we don't go out and give the gospel, if we're not salt, we're good for nothing. The grace that God's given us is intended for us to live it so that others can also be saved. If we're living in this world, you think of Noah again in his day. If we're living, he stood against the grain, right? He swam upstream against the whole world. And if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves living the same way, where we're living a life and enjoying the pleasures of life, but we're not living for God. The Bible pattern for activating God's grace in our life, in our daily living, is in Hebrews. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're just about done. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible pattern for activating God's grace. Hebrews chapter 11. If you look in verse 6, it says this. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Without faith, we cannot please God. Noah, the Bible says, if you look in verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things yet or not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Remember going back to Noah? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? How did he do that? In verse 7 it says here in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things yet not seen. Noah had faith in God. Noah obviously walked with God, as we know in Genesis chapter 6, but here, because it says he was being warned of God of things not yet seen. So Noah was already had faith in God, and because of that he was walking with God, and through his walk with God, God has taken notice of a man, right, God gave him his grace, because he's taken notice of his walk and what he's doing. And through that walk, he's being warned of God of things not yet seen, not seen as yet. And when Noah was notified by God of what was getting ready to happen, what did he do? Did he stay at home? Did he go out and go fishing? No. What did he do? He moved with fear. He got to stepping, right? As they say. He didn't play around. If you read back in Genesis, Noah was 500 years old when he had his sons. Okay? When you read about when Noah was entered into the ark, when the floods were upon the earth, he was 600 years old. So there was 100 years from when his sons were born, and then in the next verse after his sons were born, God mentions that he was going to destroy the earth. So right there at the time when his sons were little, maybe born, babies, God's talking to Noah about the destruction coming. So Noah now spends the next 100 years preparing the ark. Now I got to thinking about this. That means that Noah's sons, all they know was that his dad was building an ark. That's all they've ever known. And now, thankfully, his sons made it in the ark with their wives, right? Just a thought, and I know I'm the only one with the kids in here right now, but young kids, because, you know, you raise up your kids and the way they should go. I got to thinking, if they spent their whole childhood seeing their daddy building an ark against a world that's mocking and ridiculing them, and never seen a boat, didn't know what rain was, then it must be important that we keep our kids around the house of God, around the people of God, around church, when the whole world is going another direction, when they don't know nothing about God, they don't know nothing about the songs that we sing, they mock and play, you know, it's not like the rap songs, we don't want to sit there and bebop to Christian music in the back, right, in children's church, but that's what most kids are expecting. So it is important that we stay locked in around a good church this preaching the Bible, that the music's right, that the standards are right, that we stick to the old paths, because obviously it spared Noah's kids, right, over the years of him preaching and building a boat that no one had ever seen before. But he was warned of God because of his walk, because if he wasn't walking with God, I doubt he would have been warned by God, right? So he wouldn't have known. And so because of his walk, God warned him, and then he moved with fear. He did what God asked him to do for the next 100 or so years to prepare that ark. And then it says that when he prepared it, verse 7, to the saving of his house. And then I like the last part here. It says, by the which he condemned the whole, he condemned the world. The world may laugh about what we do and how we do it. But we ought to sincerely as a Christian determine that I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to learn to trust God in the decisions that I'm making. Right? We make decisions every day. And we make them without even a second thought. Because this is just, we just do what we do. But we need to, let's try, because God's paying attention to make decisions based in faith. Asking God, Lord, is this the right decision? I want to trust you and do the right thing. I want to please you and handle this correctly. I want to, you know, we have responsibilities and people that are depending on us, like Noah's sons were. So we need to, Lord, help us to do the right thing. And I think when we exercise a little bit of faith and trust the Lord and wait patiently and ask God for an answer and then make decisions wisely, I think He will honor that. And then, but as we walk with the Lord in faith daily, when we even don't want to, God can then begin to speak to our hearts about what we should do. He can begin to warn us. And I know with our pastor and the way he preaches, we get a lot of good admonition from the Bible and warning and preparation for what's going on and how to handle this coronavirus. And how, right? But if we're not here, then we miss all that. So the Bible pattern, we have faith in God. We need to walk with God. And then when we walk with God, when God speaks, we need to move. We need to act on it. Move with fear. Listen, you know, Pastor gave us that handout a while back about the scriptures on hell, right? If we read those enough, it ought to get our attention a little bit. It'll give us maybe soften our heart a little bit about those we come in contact with that we see on a daily basis or you come in contact with out and about to give them a gospel tract and witness to them, right, Brother Garland?
Amen.
It ought to move us in fear, realizing that the judgment's coming. And now keep this in mind. In Genesis chapter 6, it says that they were marrying, given in marriage. They were living their life. But Noah was moving with fear because he knew the flood was coming. Well, if we know that hell is real and it's coming and people are dying and going to hell, it ought to move us to do something about it. It ought to move us to be more of a faithful witness. And I'm done. There's a few verses here. I will leave you with this one, though. It says in, I like this one, Exodus chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, Exodus chapter 9, 18, if you want to, you can. I'm going to read just about four verses. It says, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain, a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And of course, we know what happened after that. They died. So there's going to be some that don't fear, and there's going to be some that do fear. Now, as a Christian, we know better. Right? We know that God is real and that judgment's coming. And we need to move with fear. Like that servant in the house of Pharaoh. We need to move and go tell people that it's coming and you need to get ready. Right? The other thing I like, and I'll close with this, is that when God told Noah to prepare the ark, he didn't leave him without any plans. Right? He told him exactly how to build it, how big to build it. You know, I wish y'all could go see it, those of you that are still here. But it's amazing. But God gave Noah all the plans that he needed to build the ark. And as we trust the Lord and do what God commands us to do, and with our families and with our decisions that we make in our lives, God, if we're walking with Him, will never leave us without a plan. He will never leave us without a direction. God is always going to be there, and we're going to get God's grace. And I love that, how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the midst of a wicked time. God did not leave Noah without a help. God helped Noah through all that, to the saving of his family and his whole house. Amen. Tonight, let's let God's grace be active in our life. And it starts with us putting our faith in the Lord daily, trusting the Lord, and walking with Him, and letting God direct us and help us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this time. Lord, I pray You help us, Lord, just to be faithful. And Lord, I know sometimes we get...